Hey, everybody. That was a great song, right? We were on a roll musically. And I don't want to stop that because I hate when the momentum stops, right? You never stop momentum on your own. You let it stop on its own. But just for the next couple moments, I'm going to be with you, whatever you're doing. I don't know if you're driving home, if you're snowboarding and listening on some earphones on the iTunes app. Well, you can listen anywhere in the world with the iTunes app. If you have that, you can listen to 91.3 and all other musical stations. You would know that if you're following 91.3 on Facebook, which is, I don't know what's the address. It's facebook.com/WBNY91.3. In 5 minutes, though, as I promised yesterday, if you were listening to the show, the really big show, I have a quick interview with Gary Goldman. You know, because this is where my show is all things comedy, and he's going to be in town. And if you know him, you know that he's a comedian. So that should be a fun, quick interview. And then, you know what's coming up after me is the Tom Hanks show, minus Tom Hanks, though. Again, he can't make it. I don't know why, but one of these days, I'm sure he will pop into the show and really make everyone's day. So, now we're down to 4 minutes. And, of course, I should address this. This weekend is Valentine's Day, and if there's a... I don't think too many guys stress about... I mean, the biggest stress for guys is to get the perfect gift, which is actually probably more stressful. But if you're a lady out there, or a female, or identify as female, whatever you do, let me just say this. And if you're upset, like, if you don't have a date, you're by yourself, just... relax. It's okay. You're still a desirable human being with something to offer for someone, if that's what you want to do. Don't feel bad about yourself. Go out with your girlfriends or whatever, or stay at home. You know what? This is like another big lie. The biggest lie being like you have to be out on New Year's Eve. Like that's the day to party. Like you don't have to be. It's just another night. Just like Valentine's Day is just another day, really, that's all made up. But I mean, if, I should mention a comedy legend. I don't know if you guys know this, anybody born in the 2000s, Sid Caesar died, which is a tragedy. You should Google that if you don't know who that is, because he is a comedy great. But you know why he timed his death right before Valentine's Day? Because he was tired of the pressure of getting the perfect gift. So that's why... You couldn't handle one more year. That's not true. No. R.I.P. Sid. Good luck on the other side. Oh, and that could possibly be Gary Goldman. So hang on 1 second. 91.3. Sure. Kill the clock. In a little bit, we'll play that for you. Okay, no problem. Bye. Oh, I was mistaken. That was a quest, a request, which we do take here at 91.3. As I was saying, yeah, like if you don't have a Valentine's Day date, it's okay. Just get a box of chocolate, get some ice cream, and relax, and don't put so much pressure on yourself. You will meet the ideal person one day. And if you're a guy out there for whatever reason and you're upset that you don't have a girlfriend or whatever on Valentine's Day, I don't know, go play some Xbox and you will relieve all the pressure right there. I mean, there is no pressure. It's fake pressure. You know what I'm saying? False pressure. It's all made up, like like diamonds. It's a thing, like it's a concept called false scarcity, and that's what they do with diamonds. They act like there's only so many of them, so they can jack up the price. But you know what? Those crafty diamond guys who own the diamonds, there's millions of diamonds. They just have them hidden deep, deep, deep in the earth, and they have those poor people mining them for them. But it's like there's billions of diamonds. They should be like 10 cents. You should be able to get a diamond at the dollar store. That's how many diamonds there are. But you know, they can't release all those diamonds because it would crush the market. Until we fight back, people. That's what we got to do. And then women can find something else to put value on the relationship that's worth something. I don't know what that would be. Platinum, gold. I mean, gold isn't that expensive either, really, is it? I don't know. I am not a not an alchemist, as you can tell. And I don't even know what I'm talking about at all. I do know that the weather's breaking, so actually you probably, it's very nice out in Metro Buffalo at 4:30 at this time of the day. You should get out, like take a walk. How about that? Take a nice walk, enjoy the weather, or do some physical exercise. Go for, not a bike ride, because that's ridiculous. Anybody that's riding their bike right now should just, I understand if you don't have a car, but there's no need to bike in this kind of, it's how important is it to you to get, you know, just take the bus, because it's, there's still icy spots, and I don't even trust, you know, Buffalo and drivers are a little aggressive. They don't always believe in sharing the road, let's put it that way. So even in the summertime, when biking's at its peak, I always recommend using caution, because you never know. Although we have put in some nice bike lanes all along the downtown area, very little arrows that show which way the bikes should go, which is always good for some drivers, that doesn't mean you shouldn't always be careful of where you're going. Because, the most aggressive place, oh, maybe that's Gary Goldman. Hang on. Let's check. 91.3. Oh, hey. Hang on 1 second for me. All right. That's Gary. Let's put him on the air. It's go time, people. Hey, Gary.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. It's glad you made it to town, buddy.
Oh yeah, I had to make several adjustments to avoid a superstorm down in New York City that for some reason is not affecting us up here. So yeah, I made the adjustments and I got in last night, and I've just been sitting in my hotel room the entire day. So I made it, and I am about 3 hours from giving the greatest show of my life.
The greatest? Wow. That's,
yeah, I feel like each latest one is the greatest one. As I improve on every set, I'm just trying to sell tickets here. I got to be honest with you. It might be completely unwatchable, but so far so good. I haven't had any really awful shows in a long time.
No, I'm sure you haven't. But I mean, sometimes bad in a good way is why. But that's just me, though. Sometimes I like really awkward comedy, but probably not.
Oh yeah, we all do. People who are seeing a lot of comedy want to see it go off the rails every once in a while. But I will say that everything I've heard from my other comedian colleagues is that the Helium Buffalo is really a great room, and you really got to suck to do poorly there. So that's good news.
It is a great room because we were starved. You know, we hadn't had a A-level club in a while, so we were starved for good comedy. So yeah, I mean. But
had you ever had an A-level club?
Well, not in my lifetime, but I'm only, okay. You know, in my, so, but possibly, I don't know. I don't want to speak past before I was born.
All right. Okay. Yeah. But pretty much in our demographic, there hasn't been one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. That's so we're, and you know, it's cold. Well, I guess you got the cold weather. You were coming from New York City. Is that what the,
yeah.
And you were on a train or do you want to know, like, why were you taking a train?
No, I flew up last night.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't. I just got him, like, his train was delayed. I'm like, why is he taking it? Is he trying to be romantic?
I was taking a train from upstate New York to New York City yesterday because I was lending a car to somebody because I'm going on vacation for a week. These are all logistical nightmares that you don't have to know about. Suffice it to say, I wasn't able to call in because they wouldn't allow phone calls, and I didn't have very good connection. So I appreciate you taking me today rather than yesterday.
Oh, no. I just found it weird. Like she was.
Why do you try to guilt me? Why do you try to guilt me or catch me in a lie? Is that what was going on?
Yeah. I'm late.
The plane?
I just seen Law and Order, and I was late. I knew the answer. You never ask a question you don't know
the
answer
to. My story adds up, my friend. I do not know why you're trying to get me in the box and get me to confess to something that I did not do.
Your story stands up. All right, you passed the test. You're in.
All right.
No, but do you feel any extra? Now, like, this is a big holiday. Obviously, it's a Valentine's Day holiday. So do you feel pressure because you are like the surrogate? Like, if a dude's taking a chick, you know, to the club, you're like the surrogate to, you know, to score the big deal. You know what I'm saying? Especially if they haven't done it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I am a wingman, and I guess that mostly I'll just have to hide my resentment for the fact that I'm working and these people are on dates or in love, and they'll end the evening a much different way than I will. And unless there's some randy single woman in the audience, there's just going to be a lot of booze and hopefully some random at the end of the night for me. But I must say that I've never enjoyed Valentine's Day, even if I was with a relationship. So it's a holiday that just it can crush you.
It should die, actually, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
We should move past it.
Especially when if you're single on Christmas, there's no way you're going to have a date on Valentine's Day. There's just, because you're not going to have one on New Year's, and then there's all that time. You've got, what, a month to have a relationship? And most people try to avoid an early relationship going on a Valentine's date because you just don't know how to act. Have you ever had a situation where you thought the relationship was further along and you brought a gift at the wrong time and it completely blew up in your face? I mean, these are the things that you have to worry about. Or the other side, I've received gifts and thought, oh, this person is much more into me than I am into them, and that becomes awful. So you can't win. You can't. I don't know how anybody ever gets together.
I know. The subtext is more complex than a David Mamet play. I don't know what kind of reference I'm going. But yeah, there's just too much.
Work. Enough people have not seen David Mamet plays that they're just going to assume that it's their fault for not getting that joke.
Exactly. Thanks.
Yes. Well, nice.
You know,
when in doubt, go obscure.
You're currently uncoupled, or are you? Do you have a?
No. I'm in a relationship, but she, okay. We're meeting in New York City on Sunday, and we're flying to Jamaica on Monday, so that's sort of my Valentine's Day plans. But she didn't want to come to Buffalo for Valentine's Day, believe it or not.
I don't blame her. Not at all.
I mean, she had to work. I'm sure she would have come if not for her working. But I would say that we could do better than Buffalo for Valentine's Day. That's a very rude thing to say.
Oh, hang on. Let me dump that part so people know. Just for your sake, because people are like, oh, we're going to see Gary Goldman. He just totally crushed the city, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Only the people from the place are allowed to make fun of the place.
No, we actually love that. I mean, there is a line. We'll let you know where it's at when they stop. But, yeah. I mean, you know, you can spend the first 10 minutes just ragging on Buffalo and the weather and whatever.
I normally don't rag on the city just because it seems coarse. But I've never been to Buffalo this time of year. So I was once here in October, and I got snowed in. I don't know if you remember that. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even 6, and there was a freak snowstorm, and it was nearly impossible to get out of here. I was on a tour, and I had to be in Albany the next day, and it was planes, trains, and automobiles that time. But that that was really bizarre because it was not even November. I remember it was October, and we were just shocked.
I could never forget, even if I wanted to, because I had just moved back to town, but the news always brings up, it's like the anniversary of this freak October storm. You know, they never...
Oh, really?
They love talking. I mean, because, I mean, we are Buffalo, but that was like a freak. Like, we usually don't get heavy snow like that, and like, I don't know, power lines, I don't know what, it was chaos. It was just pure chaos.
Yeah, and I remember we got one just lunatic man to drive us outside of all the road closings and highway closings. It was like the opening of Groundhog Day when they shut down the city and he can't get out of Punxsutawney. and we refused to be we were going to miss out on like $10,000 in fees for this next show that we were doing, so we had to make it out of there. It was worth us to pay anything to get out of there. So that was the story of my last time in Buffalo, and it's actually, what are the chances of being caught in a once-in-a-lifetime snowstorm the only time you've been here?
52,000 to, I don't know. No, I think you're good now, though.
I was being rhetorical.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, all right.
I know, I tried to look smart because I dropped David Mamet's name, but that's all I got. Yeah. I just looked that up today. I'm really an idiot. No, not at all. Of course, I'm a genius. You're not still not to pry, but you're not still going out with the lovely April Macy, are you?
No. That ended probably before the last time I was in Buffalo. Probably 2006, roughly. But yeah, we've both moved on, believe it or not. I have not. I saw her once in the past 7 years, so we've sort of lost touch.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I was just the reason I ask is because I was just wondering how it works between. I'm always fascinated because of, like, two comedians, like, how, you know, sometimes it must be tough to make it work, right?
You know, it's not that tough because women comedians are into comedy and male comedians are into comedy, and so somebody who sort of appreciates comedy and the work that goes into it, sort of the writing and performing and the lifestyle, it can be ideal. Unfortunately, a lot of the people who are drawn to comedy have trouble in relationships, and that therein lies the rub. So you may find a person who you connect with in your career and in your passion, but offstage it can be a nightmare of competing egos and interests and neuroses. So I think that is, it's ideal when it works. And when it doesn't, it is nuclear.
Right. So it could go either way, basically.
Yeah.
But, I just find, you know, comedians, guy comedians are, I mean, not psychopath, like that stupid study. I mean, not quite psychopaths, but I find, you know, women comedians are definitely crazy. And then just being a woman makes them crazy. So they're like extra crazy though. So it's like a lot more to deal with.
I think they said we were psychotic, not actual psychopaths. There was psychosis too. Comedians rather than actual psychopathy. And yeah, women comedians are, some would say, a more damaged version of the male version, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe the males are more. But anybody in comedy is in desperate need of attention. And so without getting too analytical psychologically, I would say that we are a complicated group.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're painting with a big brush, but everyone. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's probably some well-adjusted people in comedy, I'm sure, but.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, your current girlfriend, is she a comedian though, or non-comedian?
No. So. No. But she worked in a comedy club. She was downstairs from a comedy club is where I originally met her years ago, and so. What is my point? My point is that she was around comedy. She appreciated comedy, and she knew comedy. So she had seen a lot of shows, and yeah, it's hard to meet even in the best circumstances. And when you don't have a fixed job and you're on the road all the time, it's nigh on to impossible.
I'd agree with you. Yeah, it sounds tough.
Yeah,
sounds tough. But You're still living the dream.
I'm very happy in my career choice. But let's reset and say that I will be at the Helium Buffalo tonight, Valentine's, and on Saturday night. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one show tonight. And if you're not familiar with me, I've been on every television show there is to be on for a stand-up comedian. And most recently, I was well-known for being a finalist on Last Comic Standing, I guess, or nice. Dane Cook's Tourgasm, or I have a number of specials on Comedy Central. I don't know.
Look, thanks for hijacking the interview, bro. No, I was doing a bad job. You're right. I didn't reset it.
I just felt like I was getting too deep and too complicated for what people wanted to do, which was to laugh. And right. I wanted to save myself and maybe sell some tickets.
No, I built you up before, and I said you're in niceness or in heterosexualness. I have to say you're a gorgeous hunk of a man. So, ladies, you're 6 foot. I mean, especially for a comedian, you know, you're a 6 foot six. Used to play football, and
yeah.
You're fun and you're hilarious. And yeah, I was we're. Just going to get to that. You know, it's funny because I feel like we're having a good conversation because I kind of go for a conversational style, you know, like not just.
I noticed that and I was like, I got nervous that maybe I was just a boring interview and you were doing your best to try to keep me afloat.
No.
You
took the reins there. It was fine. But no, I think are you friends with Dan Natterman? Do you know him?
Yes.
Yeah. Dan
Natterman,
he was, he's okay. Cause he was in town a couple weeks ago and, think he was a little, he wasn't ready for it, because, you know, like, some DJs are, like, you know, just, like, set you up right away, like, to do, patter.
Yeah.
Like, oh, are you online dating? You know, and I think he was ready, and I told, you know, because he was ready. He was, like, had some gags about floss, and I just totally screwed him up, and he was just like, oh, what are you doing? You know, and then I don't think he liked me, though, at the end, because, you know, even out of courtesy, usually when you finish the conversation, you know, even if the comedian doesn't mean it, he'll always be like, oh, are you coming to the show? You know, I don't know. He's just like, and he didn't even say that. He was just like, yeah, okay, goodbye.
Oh, I wouldn't take that personally. He wouldn't know to ask that.
Oh, is it just that's Dan?
No, he would be, and he might be uncomfortable if you did come to the show. He's a hilarious man who doesn't always come off very warm, but he's a sweetheart.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's definitely hilarious, but I think it just threw him off a little bit, because he was just like, oh, you're not asking me if I have a girlfriend or what, how I'm dating. I was like, okay.
Yeah. But like Eminem, I can rip it any style you want.
But you were on Last Comic Standing, season 2, season 3. And how was that? There's a great setup.
I will say this. It did change my life. Before that, I was not a headliner other than in my hometown, which is Boston. And after that, since then, I've been a national headliner. So that was really helpful to get me some publicity and a modicum of fame that was such a tease. But I am very thankful for it. And as much as I despise reality television program, the reality portion of Last Comic Standing was gentle enough that it wasn't humiliating or really cruel. So I must say it's coming back this summer, and I think it's worth a watch. It was always very entertaining, even before and after I got on.
I did read that. I was kind of, well, the thing, like, I think Doug Benson said it. There's nothing that, like, whatever criticism, and there's a lot of criticism, whatever, from both sides, but there's nothing, when you just, comedians being funny on TV is always good, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, and it's a great opportunity to be in. I mean, comedians never get into prime time doing their stand-up sets. That's very rare, so that was a lot of fun, and by the end of it, you got a lot of time to perform, 5 or 6 minutes, so it's like you get the network for a short amount of time, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's launched. Look what it's done for you and Amy Schumer and Eliza Schlesinger and other people.
Yes, it has done a lot for a lot of people. So I must say, it's a win-win.
But do you feel like they should? Because Jay Mohr was like, he didn't want to produce it after they just kind of went to a straight, more like stand-up competition. Not living in the house. But he felt like they should live in the house. And how do you, like, you did, you still lived in the house, right? Season 2 and 3?
Yeah. That was very fun. And, you know, there was the competition aspect to it where you were trying to win challenges and things like that. It was very, very uninspired. But I thought that actual showcases and head-to-heads were, while, you know, I hate to be in a competitive situation in comedy, it was a great opportunity to do a long time on television of stand-up, which you never get to do unless it's at 12:15.
Right. And then I think I read somewhere it said, it took you, what, like 4 years, you said, to make a living at stand-up before you did that, though?
Oh, my God, at least, yeah.
Which isn't bad. Like, 4 years is actually pretty good, I feel like.
I think it was probably 6 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because like, yeah. 4 is pretty quick.
Yeah, that is four, even, four is, not bad. Is like... That's like getting a job after college.
Yeah, so, I mean, you were still struggling, and then were you making most of your income from, like, studio, like, writing pilots and that? And then...
Yes. I had sold some pilot ideas to star in pilots that were never produced. So there was a lot of money in that before the new millennium. And that's how I made my living for a while. They were called development deals, and they were incredibly lucrative, but incredibly frustrating and disappointing. But they allowed me to move from Boston to Los Angeles and have a little bit of a show business life early on.
And now that's gone, though, right? Like, there's no development deals going on, right?
There are development deals, but they're for a lot less money, and they are usually reserved for people who are already established. So it's not like back then. I mean, it was probably because of the success of Seinfeld and Home Improvement that studios and networks were lining up to give young comedians money to make shows that they either had no intention of putting on the air or were very, very low on the list of shows that they were going to put on the air. And then when reality shows came in, that's when there became even less real estate on the schedule. And the sitcom sort of became secondary to cheap reality shows.
But how did it work just like in Seinfeld? Like they saw like some studio suits, saw your set, and they're like, Gary Goldman, we want to be in the Gary Goldman business.
Nobody ever talked about the Gary Goldman business, which I always missed out on because it's such a great thing. You want to be in the Gary Goldman business? Well, you better line up. The thing was that there is an international festival, the Montreal International Comedy Festival.
Huge festival.
And that's where I was sort of discovered, and went out to Hollywood and had a lot of meetings and pitched ideas for TV shows, and that's where it happened. So it wasn't like with Seinfeld where they allowed you to work with your best friend.
I met a lot of writers and
things like that. Yeah, with no writing experience, and I was matched with writers, and there were a lot of contributions from the studio and everything like that. But it was similar in some ways, but not really in the sense that George Costanza was not my writing partner.
Right, but I mean but this was probably like 6 years. Oh, so like 6 years in, you're finally kind of established. So
yeah.
Go to Montreal, and then that's when you do the business. You seal the deal because they see you, and then you get production deals. But obviously, and then it's still a struggle because you're still trying to do comedy, and then and you're writing these pilots that are probably like you get 1,000 notes right of like what's wrong with it, and then never gets made.
Yeah, that was the only thing. I mean, it wasn't that grueling. I mean, the days we were writing and they would be long days and there were deadlines and everything like that. And then I would sometimes have to go and pitch to the head of the network the idea and try to do a dog and pony show for them. And that was very, very stressful. But the main thing that I didn't like about being in L.A. was there weren't the number of and quality of comedy clubs that there are in New York City. And you know, I'm very fortunate now. I get to perform every night when I'm in New York at the Comedy Cellar, which is just, I don't know if you've ever been down there, but it's really the greatest comedy club in the country. I mean, night in, night out, for between 2 and 5 shows every single night, there are full audiences of people who really, really get it, and I feel very fortunate to be a part of that.
I have not ever been there. I would like to hit it one day. Yeah, because any day, Dave Attell's working there. Louis C.K. drops by. Chris Rock.
Yeah.
You
recognize it from the opening of Louis' FX show and also from Seinfeld's Comedian. But, yeah, you get all kinds of famous people coming there either to watch or to go on stage, and it's just it's really cool. And it's very – it's sort of like the best experience for a comedian, because there's also this table upstairs where all the comedians sit after their sets or before their sets, and so it's like having the funniest office water cooler in America. It's really cool.
Right. Well, it's a restaurant, right? The Olive Tree or something?
Yeah, 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 yes, exactly. The Olive Tree, not to be confused with the Olive Garden.
Right.
This is a Mediterranean place that is one of a kind versus the Olive Garden, which is, I believe it's a chain now.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's all the bread you can eat though, but I think everything's 10,000 calories. Somehow they do that. But the Olive Tree. That's where Patrice used to rule. He would just crush you, and Keith Robinson and people like that.
You know your black New York comedian. I am very impressed with that. Wow.
That was my minor. It was a African American comedian studies.
That's excellent that you were able to wait till I tell Keith Robinson that he was mentioned in passing on a radio interview that wasn't involving Kevin Hart.
Right. Yeah, I love – well, I mean, Keith Robinson is probably one of those guys that people should know more. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, like, I agree. That's the crazy thing is that you come out of the Comedy Cellar a lot of times, I would think, and you say, yes, we saw Chris Rock or Jerry Seinfeld or Robin Williams, but we saw this other guy we've never heard of. And he was just as funny, if not funnier. And how do we not know who that guy is? I mean, and the funniest person at the table, night in, night out, is Keith Robinson. He is incredible.
Plus, he doesn't really care, though. I mean, about being famous, right?
No, I don't think he does. I think he's a very happy man who's pretty well off, if his wardrobe is any indication. I don't think I've ever seen him wear the same $300 sweater twice. So yeah, he's doing fine without being famous, which I hear is a good thing to be rich but not famous.
All right, and before I don't know who wants to reset, me or you, but before we leave, I do want to talk about your other good friend, Robert Kelly.
Oh yeah,
who loves to crush grapes as well. He was awesome when he was here. He was in town, but yeah, Tourgasm, that looked like a lot of fun, right?
No, it was a nightmare. I'm 6'6", and to sleep in what amounted to a coffin for a 6'2" person at the tallest, just in the fetal position, for 20 hours in a row was just it was awful. I mean, there was no sleep. I couldn't fit in the shower, so I would have to shower at like these colleges in their rec-plex whatevers, and it just it was exhausting. It was 25 shows in 28 days, and cramped in a place that just was super uncomfortable. I would say whatever I got paid, it was not worth it.
But it makes
and
for
also,
a good video.
I didn't know that I was going to be on the HBO at the end of it, and so I behaved like a jackass a lot and got drunk and I don't know. I didn't take too much of a hit as far as my character goes, but it was not the best conditions. It was fun for a lot of the times being with friends and stuff, but the actual travel and the shows, it could be very difficult.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's comedy. It's worth a watch, especially if you want to be in comedy, I feel like, and tour. Obviously,
yeah,
everyone's not going to
do
it at that level because you were with Dane, and it was insane, but...
Yeah, I think that's a good... And also the Comedians of Comedy is a good one, too, which is available on Netflix.
But,
yeah.
The funniest part about Tourgasm, though, I should say, is, and I told Robert this, in case you didn't get that other... My new name, I'm a name dropper as well. He probably doesn't remember me, but the funniest part is when Kelly hurt his leg, and then everyone agreed that it should have just happened to Jay Davis.
Oh my god, yeah, that. Oh my god, yeah, that was. You know, I was away from the shooting for that because I had college shows on my own commitments that I had booked from my last Comic Standing time. And I missed that, but God, that poor kid, his knee has never been the same.
Oh, all right. I will reset because I have to go, and I don't. You can. You're gonna prepare for your awesome show tonight, but
yes.
Gary Goldman tonight, Valentine's Day weekend at Helium, Friday, Saturday, Thursday.
Yes.
Two shows.
Yes. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate you having me on, man.
Oh no, thanks. Thanks for calling. It was great talking to you.
All right. Are you going to come to the show?
Saturday I am free, so I will catch probably. I like to catch the late show. That's when everyone's.
All right. Well, say hi afterwards if I'm
available.
Not, crushed by the audience response.
Right. There are a long line of females to get to.
Yeah.
I wade my way through that.
Yeah. All right. Try to do that. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Bye.
All right. Happy Valentine's.
Thank you. All right, that's it for me. Stay tuned for the Tom Hanks Show, minus Tom Hanks. Is that the exact name of it? Is that the crucial? Yes. But I feel like one day, stay tuned, because he's going to pop in. I know he is. He's going to pop in. It could be this week. So watch for that. Oh. Yeah.